Well, here we go. As we think about this scripture that was just read and we talk about the Sabbath today, I realize when we read that, it's an important thing to recognize the verse 17 that says, "These rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come, and Christ himself is that reality." If you weren't here last week, I would really love to encourage you to go back and watch our Easter Sunday message where we looked at the fact that the law can't save us. Rules don't save us. It is Christ who sets us free. And that freedom that we have in him that we've sung about and think about this morning is a critical part of what it means to honor the Sabbath, to recognize what it means to rest in God. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at what it means to be honoring God with our work and our rest, and what it means to kind of be part of this life that God created us to enjoy and created us to find peace and hope and life in. But, you know, sometimes we receive a gift and we find out it's a bit of a burden. Have you ever received a gift and then found out later on, or just discovered that that gift was more of a burden than it was necessarily life-giving? Anyone think of something like that? If you follow me online, I brought this to Facebook world this week and asked them, you know, friends of mine, what they thought of this. Got a lot of interesting answers about that. Most of them had to do with cars that were given that were lemons, or animals that they got that they loved but cost them dearly, and things like that, and or were just really difficult things. And we've all probably had gifts that were well-intentioned, maybe even good things at the start, but became burdensome in the end. And the same thing is kind of true in the Bible story about the Sabbath. We're going to look at that. But when I was a teenager, you know, I'm going to share this story, but I want to acknowledge the fact that I was pretty blessed. My parents did everything they could to provide great things for me and for my sister, and our family was blessed in many ways. My parents worked really hard to have things like this. And then one Christmas morning, I woke up to this. not necessarily. I mean, you're looking at that going, yeah, it was kind of like that, rust and all. An old Nissan Multivan. Anyone ever heard of the Multivan? There was at least a couple. There was one in first service and one in this service. So it's a pretty rare vehicle that even when I had one, no one knew what it was. Everyone would be like, "What is that?" It was a weird like car with sliding doors. It was very strange. But you know, this was the gift my parents gave me. They gave me my own car. It was old, it was used, but it ran, and I was blessed to have my own car as a teenager, and I thought, you know, how great is that? And yes, I want to make sure I'm clear. This was a nice gift, but it was an expensive gift. And it was expensive because that car, being rare as it was, also was really hard to find parts for. And it broke down all the time. I could tell you fun stories about crazy breakdowns I had with that. One in the middle of nowhere, way before cell phones were in everybody's pocket, and middle of the night in a snowstorm in Maine. And friends and I had to put on all of our, we were on a snowboarding trip, but then we had to put on all our gear to stay warm and call the police and get help. And let's just say that trip was very expensive. It was a hotel and repairs before I could get home. And, you know, things like that just happened. You know, those of you who are old enough to remember the days when you could break down without a cell phone know exactly what I'm talking about. And even though it was a great gift, It was a burden at times, and eventually I had to let it go. I had to say, this car is not worth keeping any longer. And yet, how many of you heard of the legend of the white elephant gift? It's something that we kind of use in modern language, but did you know it comes from a legend? Whether it's true or not, we're not sure, but that the king of Siam would give people he didn't like, a rare pale elephant that was sacred and therefore unusable. You couldn't use it to work or do anything for you. You just had to care for it, and it was a huge financial and time commitment, and it was an intentional burden. And this gift was given, apparently, to people he didn't like, and to essentially punish them, because they had to honor the gift given by the king, but it was of no real value, just cost. And the reality is that sometimes we put Sabbath in this camp. Sometimes we look at something like the Sabbath and think of it as this thing that God has given us, but we go, oh, it's such a burden to keep the Sabbath and to honor God with this, give it a whole day a week to the Lord, and like, what does that really look like? And the reality is that I think we have somehow, and I think we have to renew our vision of Sabbath, because I think we've distorted the gift of God in this case. And the reality is that God doesn't give bad gifts. God doesn't give white elephant gifts. The Sabbath is not something that God gave to his people in order to burden them. It's the very opposite. And yet, we often see it that way. It's only that way when we distort what God created for good and let it become a burden. And occasionally in life, and especially, we see this happening in the New Testament, there's a bit of undoing that has to happen. There's a bit of recognizing human interference on God's gifts, and the law tended to sometimes turn what was meant for our good into a burden and into a chore. And that's part of the reason the law can't save us. And what Christ came to do was to actually set us free from that law that actually makes us slaves to rules. Instead, Christ came to set us free from the rules in order to choose the best way forward. It doesn't mean that Sabbath becomes a not good thing. It's actually a return to what it always was in the first place. And so I want us to look today at how Jesus restores Sabbath to its rightful place, to its original intent in Scripture. And we're going to do a quick walkthrough of the purpose of Sabbath as found throughout Scripture and how it got distorted and then redeemed again in Christ. Now, first of all, the word Sabbath means to stop. That's what it means. It means to cease. But let's be careful we don't misunderstand. It means to cease doing things our way and doing and striving to accomplish things in our own strength and to trust and rest in God's provision. It's always been about remembering what God has done, much like we would do communion today. We do it because it is a remembrance of the great gifts that God has given us. As communion represents the gift of Christ, Sabbath recognizes the gift of God's rescue out of Egypt for the Israelites and all the fact that he built it right into creation. And if you look in Genesis 2, we see that at the very beginning of creation, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy because it was the day when he rested from all of his work of creation. Now, when you read this, first of all, understand that the Genesis account of creation is not a science book, right? Like, it's not meant to give you a scientific explanation of the creation of the universe. That's not its purpose. Its purpose is to give you a picture of who God is and what God has done and has how God is our creator. It's meant to show you God, not how and why and what was done, but who he is. And here we see that God is someone that sets aside this day to be holy, and he rests. Now, God doesn't need rest. That doesn't make sense. But he builds rest into our origin story because we need to rely on him. He sets the whole world in motion, the very creation of the world. We'll look a little bit into that next week, how even the very way the planets move and all of the kind of rhythms of night and day and all of that stuff that are part of creation, how they built into our bodies and our lives a need for rest. And so this is the who God is and what God has done in his creation. And so at the beginning, it wasn't a commandment, it wasn't a rule, it was a characteristic of God himself. This is who God is, and it's who we are created to be. Now, understand that for a minute. We were created to be in this perpetual rhythm of productivity, or work, if you want to call it that, and rest. We're going to talk about the gift of work in a couple weeks and how that is a gift from God as well. But we're also, and doing meaningful stuff for God is something that we value. But rest is also something that he builds into, not for our burden, but for our blessing. Now, God didn't rest because he needed to recover. He rested to set a pattern that he knew we would need to follow. And so as we think about this, recognize that God rested, not because he was tired, but because he was establishing a rhythm for humanity made in his image. God always sets the example. He always leads with action and the way that we are to be. And he's establishing this rhythm of work and rest, effort and trust. Because God wants us to lean on and trust in him and to be our provider. That's who he is. And this way of life would continue. But eventually Israel faced this great enslavement by the Egyptians. And what happened? They lost their gift of rest. They lost their permission, their opportunity to honor God on this day of rest. It was robbed from them. And they could not do it, even if they wanted to, for over 400 years. I think it's around 420 years, there was no opportunity for Israel to rest. God's people were working constantly as slaves. And so when he rescues the people from this place of endless work and toil, he brought them into a place where they could rest again. And again, it was meant to be a gift for them. It was returning them to the way they were created to be. And we see that in Exodus 16, God provides through the manna from heaven and the quails he gives them in the evening. He provides their food, and then he says on the sixth day they will gather food, and when they prepare it, there'll be twice as much as usual. He was allowing them to not have to go and gather for their survival and toil and work on that seventh day so that they could rest in God's provision. Catch this. This is what Sabbath is about. It's about resting in God's provision. And it wasn't do less work. It was get your work done so that you can rest in me on that extra day. They did twice as much on the day before so that they could honor God with that day. There was an intentionality. We're going to look at that a little more carefully later on as well. But God builds rest into his provisions for the people of Israel. This is what he is about. And then rest becomes the law. And this is where things start to distort a little bit. And the law always distorts because the law can't save us. And the law is not bad. We learn from the law. It teaches us a lot about what right and wrong is. And it has its value, but it can't save us. And it can't make something a gift, right? Like, I can't force a gift on you. If I force you to take a gift, it's not really a gift, right? If I force you to do something, you might say, well, it might have blessed me, but I kind of wish I had a choice in the matter. It's just something about that law nature. And so when we observe the Sabbath, this is what Scripture says now. In Deuteronomy 5, it becomes part of the Ten Commandments, the way that people live, and the Israelites were required now to observe this Sabbath very specifically. Watch how it becomes very strict. He says in Deuteronomy 5, in the law of Moses, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, that means setting it apart for God, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days a week are set apart for your daily duties and regular work. Just a little aside, it doesn't say 4 days you shall work and 3 days you shall rest. It's 6 days and one. Our culture has no problem with rest in the sense of taking time off. We're pretty good at that. We have a problem with resting in God. There's a big difference. And so, but the seventh day, he says, is a day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any kind of work. This includes you, your sons, your daughters, your male and female servants, your oxen and donkeys and other livestock, and any foreigners living among you. All your male and female servants must rest as you do. I don't know why servants are repeated twice. Maybe they were just trying to emphasize that. But remember that you were once slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out with amazing power and mighty deeds. Catch this last line. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. There's a hint in here, even in the law, that it's not about law. He says, that is why. What is why? What we just said. so that you remember that you were once slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out with amazing power and mighty deeds. See, even in its law state, the Sabbath was meant to be a remembrance of what God has done and a trust in him. And yet, we're kind of good at twisting these things up. And so what happens is Jesus arrives on the scene many years later and starts to live out the principle of Sabbath, the heart of the law, which was good things for God's people and a gift to God's people. And he finds out that everybody is not okay with the way he's living out the Sabbath. And so we see that legalism starts to distort the law. And you'll hear this word if you're around the church. Legalism is something we talk about when it's the strict, rigid adherence to law or rules, often prioritizing the letter of the law over its spirit, intention, or context. And that's what's happening. See, the spirit of the law was to remember God is good and rest in his provision. It was meant to be a gift, and it became a duty. And it's like one of the things I had to recognize early on as a pastor is that I have a duty to be in church every week. I have a duty. I have to be here, right? I can't just say, I'm not going to church today because it's my job, if you will. I have a responsibility here. And so there was a part of me when I was younger goes, well, I don't get to choose to worship anymore. I have to go. I don't have the freedom to choose. And I realized very early on that I could operate in that I have to go, or I could just recognize that yes, it may be my responsibility to go, but I still can make the choice to worship. The choice to worship and the choice to trust in God and rest in him and to worship his name, that is something I can still not do that. I can pretend. Right? We all can. You can come in here and fake it. We all are capable of that, whether whether that makes you uncomfortable or not. Anybody can. They can fake it. But if you make the choice to willfully put God first, that is always your freedom. And I've chosen that when I come, even though I have to be here, that's not why I'm here. It's never why I'm here. I'm here because I want to worship the Lord. And so legalism is when we miss that focus. And so what happens is the focus shifts from resting in God and trusting in him to proving yourself and to living up to these expectations, from relationship to regulation. And that's what legalism does. It always turns something beautiful into a burden. See, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law in that day, they didn't care about rest. They didn't care about the heart of the law. They cared about making sure they followed the rules. And many believed that if we could just follow the law, the Messiah would come. And they failed to recognize him in their midst because of this. There was all kinds. It's an interesting study to think about all the ways they tried to obey the Sabbath rules. But what happened was they basically kept making fences. So imagine if the rule is you're not allowed to touch this table, so we build a fence around it. And then everyone's like, well, someone really tall might be able to reach past that fence, so let's build another fence around that one. And they're like, well, what if someone who's strong enough to jump over that? Let's build a taller fence around that one. And it just becomes this point where we can no longer come anywhere near to the gift that it was meant to be. And so legalism always turns something beautiful into a burden. And we want to avoid that with Sabbath. I want us to shift our thinking around Sabbath and start to see it the way Jesus did. And in Mark 2, when he's healing someone on the Sabbath day, and you can go and read the rest of the story earlier on in Mark 2, Jesus stops and they're criticizing him for doing God's work on the Sabbath. And he says, no, you don't get it. And he says these powerful words, which are really the heart of our text for today. He says, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not the point. The rest in the Lord is the trust in God is the point. The Sabbath was meant to help us trust and rest in God, not just to be a thing that we must do. It's almost like it turns into this kind of idea that God needs our worship in a certain way in order to somehow give him more power. That's ridiculous. God doesn't need our worship. Our worship is for us. You know, God doesn't need your giving. He doesn't need your worship. Those things are for you. They bless you. They put God in the right place. They help you to trust in him. And we get that backwards. We start to do it out of duty. It always distorts the way it's intended. And then he ends with this powerful phrase, the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. He's speaking of himself. He's saying, God is Lord even over the Sabbath. I am Lord over the Sabbath. And so we see in this that the Sabbath was meant to always give us rest, not rules. The purpose of it, it was never meant to restrict our life, but to sustain it. It's supposed to be a blessing, not a burden. And so if you've come into this day to day, or if you've been living out of some legalistic background and struggled with some of this in your past, like I have, then you can recognize that that's something I have to wrestle with and get to the sense. We have to return to the sense of Sabbath as a gift. Because if we don't, then we tend to either throw it away or resent it. We tend to just say, I want nothing to do with it, or even if or we're obedient out of it, but obedient but kind of bitter about it or angry about it, or we don't appreciate it for what it really is meant to be. And so either way, that's not a good thing. I want us to appreciate what Sabbath is meant to do and see the beauty and the wisdom of it and not do it out of some sort of legalistic way, not to be restful, but to rest in God because it's an incredible gift he wants to give you. The thing is, Jesus didn't just reinterpret the Sabbath in the New Testament. He claimed authority over it. He said that this is what it always was. He is not saying this is a new way to think about it. He's saying you have misunderstood all it meant to be in the first place. And then he proved it. He proved that it was okay to heal the sick on the Sabbath because he's doing God's work. He's doing what he is God. We know that. But he's God's enabling him and in himself to do what God wants to do on the Sabbath, which proves that it's the right thing to do. So sometimes I hear people make like strange, well, it's the Sabbath, so, you know, I shouldn't do anything at the church. No, like serving the Lord is still a good thing to do on the Sabbath, right? Like there's nothing wrong with that. We may not be necessarily healing the sick, but, you know, I work on the Sabbath. I work on, and by the way, that you heard in our scripture, right? It doesn't even matter what day we call the Sabbath. I often take a Sabbath at a different time, and we'll get into some of that specifics next week. You understand, I'm talking about the principle, the gift of rest. And not, again, not more vacation time, rest on a weekly rhythm that takes time away to say, God, you provide while I rest in who you are. And so Jesus saw healing as blessing and exactly what the Sabbath was meant for. And we ought to as well. Doing God's will is part of what it means to be Sabbath. And so Jesus shows us, again, what God is like. God is one who shows mercy, and it requires mercy, not sacrifices. We read in Malachi, God prefers mercy over ritual. He prefers compassion over control. Jesus demonstrates this characteristic all through his life because God never intended the Sabbath to be a weight on your shoulders, but a rest from your soul. And if you carry this idea of Sabbath, I don't want anyone to leave from here feeling burdened. That would be the opposite of my goal and God's goal for you today, is to leave going, God wants to grant me this rest in him as a beautiful gift, not just for me, but for my family and for everyone around me. See, the New Testament is really clear that Sabbath keeping is no longer a law. We're not under the law anymore. As you heard in Colossians, don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink or not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. We don't follow the strict rules anymore. We can turn to God and say, I want to rest in you. So does the Sabbath still matter? Yes, of course it still matters, but it matters how we think about it. It's still a gift. And so how can we practice that today? How can we think about, what's the best way to think about Sabbath as you go from here today? What do I do with this principle? Well, first of all, I'm not going to cover all that in one sermon. I hope you'll come back and continue to work through this. I'm actually working through this with our family on a real practical level. We're starting to talk about how are we going to do better at resting in God's provision together as a family. Because Sabbath rest reminds us that we don't have to strive for our salvation. We don't have to earn anything. It's about trusting in who God is and that Jesus has done it all for us. And so the law is fulfilled. I don't have to follow a bunch of rules. It's just a gift I get to rest in and accept, just like the gift of salvation. It also, we remember today that rest is still wise and godly. There's nowhere in Scripture where the Sabbath gift is removed. In Hebrews 4, it says there is a Sabbath for those in Jesus. It's just that it's no longer a rule or a law. It becomes life-giving, not law structure. And so the rhythms of life God built into us from creation, they've not changed. We still need rest, and God still wants to give it to you. He just doesn't want you to do it out of some duty. He wants you to experience what he always meant for you to experience. And so if you've struggled with a legalistic view of Sabbath keeping in the past, I want to encourage you to embrace this as a gift and then explore what does that look like for you. Again, we'll talk more about that over the coming weeks. The other thing Sabbath does is it reminds us God looks at your heart, right? He's more interested in your heart than your obedience. Don't get me wrong. We are obedient out of thanksgiving and grace, and we appreciate what God has done, but he doesn't force us to be obedient by law. He invites us into grace. Do you understand? It's an invitation into something beautiful, not a rule to follow. And so Sabbath rest does that, and it also allows us to offer that rest and grace to others. The beauty of practicing these things for ourselves and others is that we pass them on. See, the practices of faith and the disciplines of faith are not necessarily only for us. They set an example and a pattern for others, and we have the whole history of God's people to follow after. Even there's some level of ritual, I think, that is very beneficial in these ways, as long as we don't let it become legalistic. And so we have to be careful of that. But I think there are some beautiful rituals you can instill in your life that become life-giving if you understand that it's a gift. And this is something I want to do, and I want to pass on to my children. And I want to make sure that it's something that I don't do in a legalistic manner, but we do in a God-honoring way so that we learn to rest in him. So what's a healthy perspective on the Sabbath? I think it is when we see Sabbath as a gift and not a law, we can now rejoice in it. We can embrace it and find it life-giving. So instead of throwing it away and resenting it as if it's some burden that's thrown away with the Old Testament law, we can actually say, no, this was meant to be something for my good. So we keep its importance and we relish its beauty without holding on to the legalism. And so what does it mean to Sabbath? It means to take a day to rest and remember all that God has done for you and to restore your trust in him, not your toil, not your work or your efforts being what sustains you. And it's a reminder weekly that God is in control. And I wonder sometimes how much more at peace and how much more joy and how much more thriving we would see in people's lives if we would accept this gift that God built into the whole universe around us instead of struggling against it. You know, New York City brags to be the city that never sleeps. I'm not so sure that's a good thing. We've made all kinds of artificial ways to fight the night and not rest and not follow the rhythms that are built into night and day. And I'm guilty as the next person. I think God invites us to restore that rhythm And I want to try to do the best I can to receive this gift as it was always meant to be. I'm going to invite the worship team back up, and we're going to sing a new song. It's a new old song. I don't know if you've know it, but it's called He Is. And this song invites us to recognize that we can find our rest in Him. And whatever your response needs to be today, perhaps your response is to rest in Him. Maybe you need to come forward in confession and say, God, I have not been trusting in You. I've been trusting in self, and lay that down at the altar. Or maybe you just need to sit and rest in Him while we sing this song, or stand and give Him praise and thank Him for who He is. Any response of that nature would be very appropriate. But let's start to think about Sabbath as the gift it was always meant to be.